جزاك الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله, we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us the opportunity as well as the ability to worship one Allah. There are so many things out there that are competing for us to worship, either that religion, that thing, that idea, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His infinite mercy, has allowed us to re-channel and focus our energies on Allah and one Allah. This is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows mercy to a person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person the ability to reason and think, and think in a way that will help us reflect upon the greatness of Allah and worship Allah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. And this is also part of the ni'mah that Allah has given us. The Quran says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Ni'mah is not only the food you eat. Ni'mah is not only the car you drive. Ni'mah is not only being sheltered and not hurt by the rain or the hailstorm. Ni'mah is not only the blessings that we attain and acquire that gives us pleasure. Ni'mah is also the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Ni'mah is also the ability to worship one Allah. Ni'mah is also the ability to fulfill the rights of the poor. When Allah gives softness to a man or to a woman, then they begin to fulfill each another's healthy, halal desires in the family. That too is a ni'mah. We don't look at it that way. So, as far as the ni'mah of Allah is concerned, the Quran says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. You will never be able to count the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And one of the greatest blessings Allah has given you and I is the ability to worship Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ. Allah says, I have not created jinn and ins إِلَّا يَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinn and ins except for one purpose, that they will worship. Not they will play. Not they will just have fun. Not they will just do things that are insignificant. They will invest the energies in worshiping Allah, saying. And Allah has chosen, Alhamdulillah, you and I, to worship Him. So Allah said in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, ibuduu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah is saying in essence to this ayah that everything that I've created before, after, present, at any point in time, the entire system of my creation is you worship. Why must you worship? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. You must worship so that way you can attain consciousness, value, a link between yourself and your Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah didn't say you must worship so you can be guided. You must worship so you can become a better person. You must worship so I can increase your sustenance. No. You must worship because worship takes you to the next level of consciousness of your Creator at all times. Last week we spoke about a hadith, and I mentioned that I will be speaking about it elsewhere. And that part that I spoke about elsewhere was, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. That you worship Allah as if you can see Allah. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّ يَرَى. Perhaps it may happen that you cannot visualize the presence of Allah. The hadith said, understand full well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala undoubtedly is watching and observing you. When we perform our salah today, once the salah is done, it is done. You are absolved. There's no such thing as farad and then another farad after that in that same time slot of salah. Once it is done, it is done. That is why the Quran says, Kitab al-Mawquda, Salah has a specific time. That is why to just put two Salah together, many scholars have opinion, unless it is out of extreme necessity, you will do it. You don't just say, well, you know what, forget Allah, I'll do it together just because I'm lazy today. You can't do that. Because the hadith makes it, and the Quranic ayah makes it known, there's a specific time for everything. So once the Dhuha or the Jummah Salah is over, it's over, you are absolved. If you owe the poor $100 in zakat, once you gain your zakat, it is over. Whatever else you give beyond, it's sadaqah. And sadaqah tutfi'ul bala'a, hadith says, the charity you give above your zakat will lower the flame, lowers the torment, and it sends away evil that's supposed to come your way. Hadith makes mention of that. So once zakat is given, it's given. If you go for the hajj and you perform the hajj, you don't say, well, I did one hajj, I feel good, I'm going to do a second hajj right now on the spot. You can't do that. That's it. It's done. Your hajj is over. Now you go home. This applies to many things. You owe your parents a lot of good. But once you pass away, your parents pass away, that's it. It's over. So a lot of ibadah that we are doing generally come to an end. The only ibadah that does not come to an end, and according to some, may even continue to help you in your grave. For example, you had good children and they learned good things. You were a father that sent me a child and taught your child the value of salah. You taught your child the value of salawatiyah, that, oh my child, when I'm alive, I will give you what you want. But oh my child, I want you to memorize salawatiyah. Doesn't matter your child's age. Every weekend when you meet him or her, did you learn the first ayah today? Between last week and this week, did you learn the second ayah? Between this week and that week, did you learn the third ayah? Oh my child, for your father's sake, for Allah's sake, can you just learn one ayah a week? Do you think your child will tell you no? You know, there was one lady, she made her child memorize the Quran. It's referred to Qari Maryam Sahib. Very, very brilliant man. His speeches used to mesmerize individuals. The mother said something very powerful. Whatever you memorize in life. But oh my child, every day, after Maghrib Salah, do me one favor. Whatever your success, it's yours. Money, yours. Knowledge, yours. Everything, yours. But do me one favor, child. After Maghrib Salah every day, please read some Quran. That's all I want you to do. They say, according to some, till the day he died, every day he would read the Quran. Who benefited? Did he just benefit? He benefits, his mother benefits, the community benefits, they see an example. The list goes on. This is what you call worshipping Allah. Worshipping Allah means, as the hadith says, you don't limit yourself. So everything comes to an end. But the only thing that continues is worshipping Allah. For example, a person walks outside and they see something haram and they look down. Because when Allah demands of us look down, that becomes worshipping Allah. There was a unique email that was sent. It was sent to me, and I get emails from all over the United States, so you don't know who it is. But I appreciate this email because the young ones over here, at some point or the other, this thought has been through their mind as well. And the email states something like this. It says, "Dear Sheikh, I am a Muslim, and please do not be offended by my question. Why is it there is so much emphasis that is placed on when you walk into the masjid, walk with the right leg, when you walk out, walk on the left leg. When you sleep, you must sleep on the right hand side. When you shake hands with people, do it with the right hand. When you eat food, try to abstain from certain foods and eat other foods. Aren't there many bigger things out there in life that we should concern ourselves with? Global peace, removing of human suffering," and this person goes on. Now, each one of us at some point in our life can link ourselves to this question.
When you sit in an airplane, is there a chance that airplane is going to crash? There is a slight chance. When you drive your car, is there a chance that there may be an accident? Obviously. If you went to a lawyer, is there a chance he or she may lose the case? Absolutely. Is there, although the possibility may be minimal, however, is there a chance that a major earthquake would come and we all could be swallowed in right now? Probability minimal, but the possibility is there. So why do we sit in an airplane? Why do we buy cars? Why do we have children? We know statistically that our child may go against us. The reason why you sit in an airplane is because they have given you this itminan that it'll all start with TSA. Why does TSA, for example, pull people like me and you one side more often than they will pull, excuse me for saying this, the blonde blue-eyed fellow? It's not just a coincidence. Because when the people see me and you being pulled over, it makes them realize, see, we are now going towards safety. These are the people that are going to hurt us. See, they're pulling them. They're examining them more. It's all part of the plan. So it all starts there. When they pull me and you one side, the people of the dominant culture say, yes, now we know we're going to fly safely. Then you hear in the news, the plane did not take off because there was snow. So now you know automatically, when there is snow out there, they take more precaution. Then there is a delay sometimes that takes place because of mechanical things. So you feel, see, these people take good pride in what they're doing. They're ensuring our safety and security. And with that in mind, although there is a chance, I hope no plane goes out today because let's say the Imam says something about planes and that's why something happened here or there. No, we're just having a general discussion here. The point I'm trying to make, there is a process. And we trust that process. That is why we fly. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a process. For example, when a child is born, you will sacrifice for a boy two animals, for a girl one animal. When a child is born, you will give that child a good name. It was a person that came to complain once. And if I'm not mistaken, he said to the Khalif, my child is very disobedient. What did the Khalif say? What did the Khalif say to this boy, or to this man? He says, today you are complaining about your child. Before you got married, did you ever think what type of woman you're going to marry? When you named your child, did you ever take pride in giving your child a good name? Today you are complaining about, my child doesn't do this, my child doesn't do that. The first right of your child was you will try to find a moral woman for your child. It didn't say, go to your culture and marry. It didn't say, go and only marry so and so person. No. What it says, the best woman you can find, the most moral woman you can find, that's the one you have to marry. That's the right of your child before your child came into this world. Again, it's a process. And that process, whether it's right leg here, left leg there, reading this dua, reading that dua. And once you fulfill that process, you will create global peace, global harmony, love, etc. If 1.7 billion people did it, naturally, we can attain tremendous amount of good. As I said, أَنْتَعْبُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ. Worshipping Allah is something that takes place at all times. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala is told once, I want you to look after this heap that is here. There's a lot of goods over there. Make sure nobody steals it. Says, okay, Ya Rasulullah, I'll do it. At night, somebody comes and they start stealing. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala gets up, he spots that person, and he grabs that individual. The person says, you know, I'm very poor, I'm having a hard time, please. I've got to feed my family, please let me go. Abu Huraira was soft-natured. He says, okay, you can go. Second night, same thing happens. Person is coming, person is stealing, Abu Huraira grabs the person, and this person makes the same complaint again. No, 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 please, give me a break, times are tough. You know, I've got rent to pay, all these complaints, I've got to feed my family, please, go easy on me. Rasulullah said for the second time, said, oh Abu Huraira, what happened last night? What happened last night? He says, ya Rasulullah, so to speak, I can't conceal anything from you. Yes, that same person came. I was supposed to bring it to you, but he had this sobbing story that, you know, times are bad, etc., etc. I let it go. Oh, Abu Huraira, he will come again tonight. This is, imagine Rasulullah SAW saying this. He will come again tonight, oh Abu Huraira. So beware. And guess what? That individual came, and many of you heard this before, came again, and this time Abu Huraira said, I'm not letting you go. That's it. This is the third time. It's a major violation. You are stealing from the Baytul Baal, so to speak. You are taking away our treasures. You are depriving others. And this person says the following. Says, I'll teach you a secret. I will teach you something. In exchange of that, you let me go. And if you read what I will teach you, you will gain tremendous amount of safety, security, and benefit. Anyway, Abu Huraira accepts. There's an agreement, and the person leaves. Rasulullah comes again and says, oh Abu Huraira, what happened last night? He says, ya Rasulullah, definitely I cannot conceal anything from you. There was this person that came, and I let him go. But he told me something, very unique. He says, I must read the ayat al-Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardh ila akhir al-ayah. We teach our children so many different things. We want our children to excel in school. We want our children to excel in their playing in the sports. We want everything. Of course, we should want them to excel. Rasulullah says something very powerful. He says, although this person is a liar, although this person is a kadhab, understand in what he said it was true. Oh Abu Huraira, do you know who this person was? This person was none other than Shaytan. Imagine, Shaytan teaching Abu Huraira the value of what? Ayat al-Kursi, because he doesn't want to be taken to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and reprimanded. This is the power of what we have with our midst. We have the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Take that sunnah to anyone out there. Tell a person to eat with the right hand. They'll say no big deal. Tell a person to eat with the right hand because my Prophet said so. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they'll call you a fundamentalist. They'll call you names, they'll call you religion names. Tell a person to wear a Halloween costume. It's no problem. Tell a woman to wear a scarf. That's it. She's a fundamentalist, she's a terrorist. Happens all the time. This is the power of the kalima, la ilaha illallah. This is the power of your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a reality we have to deal with. So again, we come back. It's the process. It's the process. And you've fulfilled this process, whether it is to recite the ayat al-Kursi before sleeping, reading the Yasin in the morning, reading Surah Waqia after Maghrib, reading Surah Fulk before you go to bed, reading the Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, after Salah. It all looks trivial. It all looks minor. Just like for some people, TSA, it's minor. For some you're waiting in line, it's minor. Plane delay, sometimes it's minor. I know once I was running late to the airport, it was in China. I was the last person on the plane. The plane was delayed for 45 minutes. Everybody was upset. For me, it was minor. Because if you didn't wait, I would have missed my flight. Some it is minor, but some it is not. So what I'm saying, all these minor things becomes one major thing. All those little classes you take gives you that degree. All those dollars you save, gives you that car, that home, that pays for the tuition. So all these little things is part of the process of getting you and I, inshallah, to the end result. So again, you will end up, as I wasn't supposed to speak about this topic, but a few people requested, and da'bud Allah ka'annaka tara. Worship Allah as if you can see Allah. And if illam tadun tara fa'inna yara, perhaps that you cannot see Allah. Understand, Allah is watching you. Allah is watching every move. And every little move done well will create, inshallah, the beautiful picture of being the best Muslim, inshallah. And guide us at all times. وآخر دعوانا